growing faith tonight, because we're so inclined to be fearful when we look at circumstances around us, and we're inclined to take matters into our own hands and try to make things work, and we find out very quickly that we probably are pretty incapable of that. We can't do it. We can't change the life circumstances. I'd like to change the price of gasoline and the price of groceries, but I can't. And just a 10-cent a gallon, reduction is not really helpful very much. Although we've seen that in recent days. Those kinds of things that we say this is something that needs to be changed. And I mentioned on Sunday, I heard something on the radio, I don't know if it's true or not, but some are predicting that within about 10 years, about 20% of Americans will claim some LGBT association. And this is a growing influence in our culture, and it's being encouraged, and a lot of people are being enlisted in a vile and ungodly lifestyle in that area. And that's cause for great concern, because we know where that sort of thing goes, and we know that the judgment of God can't be far behind when people turn in that direction. And so there are plenty of things for us to get upset and nervous and even fearful about, but that's not God's plan for us. He doesn't want his people, his children, to be afraid. And we're going to talk about growing faith tonight. We're not going to address fear so much as we are just how we respond to him and respond to his truth. And our faith should be increasing as we live longer here. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that you will bless as we consider truth from your word. And Father, help us to see one man's poor example. And Father, not go that way ourselves. We can see where bad decisions took him. And Father, I pray that we would instead make good and godly choices and decisions that are rooted in confidence and trust in your changeless character. And Father, as we consider on Sunday nights divine attributes, we talked just last Sunday night about the fact that our great God is changeless, and things that he makes that you make promises about will always be true, and things that cannot be altered. Father, you are a faithful and true God, and we rejoice in you, and help us not to waver in our confidence and our faith and our joy and our peace. And Father, I pray that you will bless your people and help us to grow in faith and even see the important principles that relate to that tonight. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Open your Bible with me, please, to Psalm 52. Psalm 52, and this may seem like an unlikely passage of Scripture and an unlikely character for the subject of faith, but I don't think it's a bad thing, and the Lord laid upon my heart as I was reading from this psalm. It's okay, you guys can get that later. If you don't know what that's about, it's okay. You probably don't need that during church anyway, so. But the fact is, we're inclined to take matters into our own hands. We're inclined to seize control of the moment and imagine that's part of our responsibility. And God wants us to be in charge, and God wants us to take control, and God wants us to exercise initiative. We try to make things work, and sometimes we develop a serious attitude trying to do this very thing, trying to make things work. And while initiative in itself is not a bad thing, when it comes to an issue that God claims control over and he wants us to trust him about, well, then we shouldn't be trying to come to solutions and conclusions and work things out ourselves. There's a time when we just leave things with the Lord for God to work out. and just trust him. Here's an example of a man working, trying to work things out for himself. And look at the introductory words of Psalm 52. To the chief musician, Maskil, a psalm of David, when Doeg the Edomite came and told Saul and said to him, David has come to the house of Ahimelech. And Doeg was a wicked man. He was not a person who put his confidence and trust in God, and he was trying to manipulate the situation. We're going to read this psalm, and then we'll talk some specific reasons why we sometimes decide we're going to just act ourselves and take matters into our own hands, like Doeg did, instead of trusting the Lord with those things and leaving them with him. Psalm 52, verse 1 says, why boastest thou thyself in mischief, O mighty man? The goodness of God endureth continually. Thy tongue deviseth mischiefs like a sharp razor, working deceitfully. Thou lovest evil more than good, and lying rather than to speak righteousness. Selah. Thou lovest all devouring words, O thou deceitful tongue. God shall likewise destroy thee forever. He shall take thee away and pluck thee out of thy dwelling place and root thee out of the land of the living. Selah. The righteous also shall see and fear and shall laugh at him. And this is interesting. Look at verse 7 specifically. Lo, this is the man that made not God his strength, but trusted in the abundance of his riches and strengthened himself in his wickedness. But I am like a green olive tree in the house of God. I trust in the mercy of God forever and ever. I will praise thee forever because thou hast done it. And I will wait on thy name, for it is good before thy saints. And I want us to consider the subject of growing faith tonight, because many times our Heavenly Father just wants us to wait for him to bring an answer. And he gives us peace many times about just waiting. And to do otherwise can actually amount to serious unbelief, which in reality is an insult to God. When we refuse to trust him and we say, no, I'm going to take matters into my own hands. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. Instead of just waiting on the Lord and trusting the Lord to accomplish his purpose. And he hates unbelief, and this psalm underscores this fact. I want us to consider, first of all, the reasons for ungodly behavior. Here in verse 7, the reasons for Doeg's ungodly behavior, verse 7 says, lo, this is the man that made not God his strength. He did not make God his strength. I have to get this thing done. You ever feel that way? I can't wait anymore. I've got to do this. I've got to get this done. And when we step that way and we jump forward ahead of the Lord, well, then we are not making God our strength. And that was part of his problem. He trusted in himself as the second one. The Bible says he trusted in the abundance of his riches. He trusted in himself. And the conclusion or the statement that we would associate with this is, I can figure this thing out. I can figure this out. I have to do something. I need to get this done, and I can figure this thing out. Number three, he strengthened himself in his own wickedness. And the rest of verse 7 says he strengthened himself in his wickedness. Obviously, this person never did put his faith and trust in the Lord, and that would explain his actions. A person who knows Christ is a new creature in Christ Jesus, and some of these things that Doeg struggled with would not be present in the life of a truly saved person. But God's people definitely do have a tendency to trust in themselves and not make God their strength. And these become the reasons that the Word of God gives us for ungodly behavior. This is why we don't respond to God as we should, is because we're imagining that we've got to figure this out ourselves. We've got to work this out ourselves. We've got to make something happen. And so we end up doing something that is not God's will, that is actually ungodly. It's not according to faith, it's according to the flesh. And wicked boasting was one of Doeg's sins, and we read in the introduction, but notice verse 1 of Psalm 52, why boastest thou thyself in mischief, O mighty man? The goodness of God endureth continually. Wicked boasting. Look also at 1 Samuel chapter 21, and this is where we see in the historical writings the account of this man's action against David, who wasn't the king at this point. He was fleeing from Saul. In 1 Samuel chapter 21, verse 7, the Bible says, "Now a certain man of the servants of Saul was there that day, detained before the Lord, and his name was Doeg, an Edomite, the chiefest of the herdmen that belonged to Saul." And look at chapter 22, verse 9. "Then answered Doeg the Edomite, which was set over the servants of Saul, and said, I saw the son of Jesse coming to Nob to Ahimelech, the son of Ahitub." And then again in verse 18 of chapter 22, the Bible says, "And the king said to Doeg, turn thou and fall upon the priests. And Doeg the Edomite turned, and he fell upon the priests and slew on that day 85 persons that did wear a linen ephod." And King Saul sent Doeg out of his own jealousy and his own rage, his distrust of David, which was unfounded, by the way. And Saul was a very unstable man, and a man who was jealous of his own position as the king, and he feared that David was trying to take away his throne, so he was trying to kill David. And he declared a death sentence upon all the priests that were in this town of Nob, and he had Doeg do the dirty work. And so this man had wicked boasting. That was one of his sins. And Doeg was obviously trying to elevate himself rather than asking the Lord, what should I do? What should I do in this situation? It was about self-elevation. It was about him concluding that he had to do something. He should do something. And so he made himself available to King Saul. I think it's interesting that Doeg's own jealousy was fueled by King Saul's jealousy. And the Bible teaches us that wicked rulers affect the people, the citizenry of that nation. And there's no question of that. I remember years ago, somebody was addressing the issue of why Bill Clinton was such a popular president. And one person said, "Oh, I can tell you why he's such a popular person is because he makes everybody feel comfortable in their sin, like it's okay." And I thought, wow, isn't that a terrible summary of a man's administration, that he makes everybody feel comfortable in their sin because he did it himself, and so he's not setting a worthy example, but rather instead is encouraging other people to do ungodly things. And that's often the case, and that was the case in this situation as well. We are inclined to all kinds of carnality when we're not looking to the Lord and trusting Him. Whenever we get our eyes off God, whenever we begin to operate by sight instead of by faith, we could do about anything. We could fall into all kinds of error. We could imagine all kinds of ungodly things to do to promote our situation when we quit trusting in the Lord and we get our eyes on ourselves and our circumstances and take our eyes off of God. And so that should be a warning to everybody. Doeg probably had some redeeming qualities. He was the chief herdman under King Saul's administration, and so he undoubtedly was a reliable person in some ways. He probably could be classified as a good man in some ways. He had become elevated in his position of responsibility and authority, had some redeeming qualities about him. But all we know about Doeg was that he was a traitor to David, and God's hand was on David, and Doeg was used of the devil to destroy some innocent people's lives because of jealousy and because of envy. And even though he had some positive qualities about him, there was so much that was not commendable. These things were quenched by and negated by his angry, jealous words and self-exalting attitude. And I believe that he was probably encouraged in this spirit by the king himself, because that's the kind of a man that King Saul was. He was a jealous and an unstable and an envious person himself. And so he encouraged this same kind of response in Doeg. And you know, the Spirit of God doesn't generate those kinds of emotions. The Holy Spirit does not generate that kind of feeling. That's of our flesh. And so we ought to acknowledge that and say, okay, if I become jealous, if I become envious, if I become wrathful, if I become vengeful towards somebody, that's not the Spirit of God working in me. That is my flesh. That's a carnal response. It's not a spiritual response. It's not a faith response. And so these are all important truths. The third principle that I want us to consider is the fact that faith in God is the key to everything. And we read in Psalm 52, but look at Psalm 72. In Psalm 72, we see this principle pointed out again and again in the Word of God. And this is just one example of it. Psalm 72, verse 1 says, "Give the king thy judgments, O God, and thy righteousness unto the king's sons. He shall judge thy people with righteousness, and thy poor with judgment. The mountains shall bring peace to the people, and the little hills by righteousness. He shall judge the poor of the people. He shall save the children of the needy, and shall break in pieces the oppressor. They shall fear thee as long as the sun and moon endure through all generations. He shall come down like rain upon the mown grass, as showers that water the earth. In his days shall the righteous flourish, and abundance of peace so long as the moon endureth." And this is a great passage of Scripture, because it describes such a peaceful and a joyful condition when people are looking to the Lord and following the Lord and trusting the Lord. That brings us peace. And we don't have peace. We have turmoil in our spirit when we're not looking to the Lord. And so, you know, I appreciate your honesty. And all of us would say, in fact, me included, we would all say we've felt some fear, some trepidation, some concerns over the conditions of the world around us. But if we are truly looking to the Lord, we're truly trusting Him with everything, we'll have peace. We'll be able to operate with joy. And there will be a peaceful spirit about us because we have our confidence and our trust in the Lord. I think about Proverbs 3:5. "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding." What happens when we lean to our own understanding? We experience turmoil. And we're fearful again when we lean unto our own understanding. We start trying to figure things out and not, instead of just leaving them with the Lord and trusting Him. And so that's a terrible pitfall that we typically experience. Other verses in the Psalms deal with extensions of pride and self-reliance, and we could look at many more verses on this subject, other verses in the Psalms. You know, Proverbs 3:6, "In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes, fear the Lord and depart from evil," verse 7 says. "It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones," I think it's verse 8. Trusting in the Lord, just keeping our eyes on the Lord instead of getting all wrapped up in the way we think about things and our solutions, which don't really work anyway. You know, Job, look at Psalm 62. You know, Job 13:15, "Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him." And what a great conclusion Job came to. And basically, his declaration there is, God can kill me if he wants to. He could decide this life of mine is over, and I'm going to die. But I'm still going to keep on trusting God. I'm going to keep on relying on Him, even if He decides to slay me. "Though He slay me, yet will I trust in Him." Psalm 62:8. Psalm 62, verse 8. says, trust in him at all times, ye people, pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. Selah. Trust him at all times. And back up a little bit to Psalm 37. Psalm 37, verse 3. In Psalm 37, verse 3, the Bible says, trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Verse 5, commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And then verse 7, rest in the Lord, wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Just keep trusting the Lord. Instead, look to him. And instead of worrying about things, instead of focusing on what's wrong, just focus on the one who's always right. Look at Isaiah chapter 26, and most of you know 26:3, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. And verse 4 is a great verse as well, Isaiah 26:4. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. But instead, we see back in our text in Psalm 52, instead of trusting the Lord, we see the words that are clarifying here about manipulating the truth for personal fulfillment. Verse 3, thou lovest evil more than good and lying rather than to speak righteousness. And here is a manipulation of truth that Doeg was guilty of, and he used that to further his own position instead of giving honor and glory to God. And then in verse 4, we see a vindictiveness in this setting that seeks others' harm. Thou lovest all devouring words, O thou deceitful tongue. And then verse 5, the fact that God will deal with this kind of vengefulness and wickedness. God shall likewise destroy thee forever. He shall take thee away and pluck thee out of thy dwelling place and root thee out of the land of the living. Selah. And verses 6 and 7, there's frustration and shame and defeat that will follow that kind of a spirit. The righteous also shall see and fear and shall laugh at him. Lo, this is the man that made not God his strength, but trusted in the abundance of his riches and strengthened himself in his wickedness. And so there's frustration and there's shame and there is judgment and defeat that result from that kind of a response. But verse 8 and 9 is where the psalmist says, but I am like a green olive tree in the house of God. I trust in the mercy of God forever and ever. I will praise thee forever because thou hast done it. And I will wait on thy name, for it is good before thy saints. Just trust the Lord and wait on him to accomplish his work. And don't allow yourself, whenever you sense those fears starting to form, starting to come in your heart, just commit them to the Lord and realize that God has made promises. Go to the Word of God. And you know what? We need the Bible today probably more than we've ever needed it, because of the fact that there's just so much in our world. I've heard it said by some that years past were the greatest years that to be alive, the greatest time to be alive. And then I've heard more recently some are saying today this is the greatest time to be alive. The days when we're seeing things really turn, we're seeing things really come about that point to the soon return of Jesus Christ to the earth. These could be the greatest days, and they're challenging times. It's a good opportunity for God's people to be laying up treasures in heaven. It's a good opportunity for God's people to be growing in faith and confidence in the Lord, because it seems like all of the other confidences that we could have are being ripped away, are being pulled out from under us. Is that a bad thing, that we don't have the same confidences that we've always had in the past? Is that a bad thing? Well, it's not a bad thing if it causes us to look to the Lord and trust him all the more. That's not a bad thing, because our faith needs to be growing, and the Bible teaches us this, that we ought to grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and our faith should be increasing. And we ought to be becoming stronger in our confidence in Christ. I was intending to ask you to pray tonight before we went to prayer for the teens at camp and for the Sikorskis and Brother Aaron, who are their sponsors, as they drive back and at the end of this week. And please do continue to pray for them. But, you know, we just trust the Lord. We just trust the Lord with their safekeeping. And you trust the Lord with your financial situation and with your future and with your home and with your rearing of your children. You just trust God with those things. And He's pleased when we look to Him with confidence and we can rest in our soul because we are at rest and we're not fretting about this stuff, about the conditions of the world around us. God wants His people to grow in faith, just grow in confidence and trust in Him. And how do I grow? Well, you grow by getting to know God better. And one voice that I'm hearing these days says, the better you know the Lord, the more at peace you'll be. The better you know the Lord, the more confident you'll be in Him. Because He's a great God. And you know, if we are just racked by fear and all kinds of worry and nervousness and trepidation, and this seems to dominate our life, it's because we don't know the Lord very well. It's just because we don't know Him very well. Because the better we know Him, the more settled we'll be, because we'll understand who God is better. So look to the Lord and spend more time in your Bible. Spend more time listening to teaching and preaching from the Word of God, studying discipleship materials, and growing in grace and knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and you'll be more settled as a saint. Amen? Let's pray.